to Not a Single Bother podcast with myself, Ashton Dowling. And I hope everybody's well. How are y'all getting on, lads? And just a little reminder, actually, before I get into this podcast, I didn't say it in the last podcast because I started it after I had uploaded the podcast. But you may have seen on my social media, if you follow me there, I have organized a GoFundMe for Safe Ireland in memory of Aisling Murphy. So obviously you would have known all those things that I spoke about in the last episode. If you haven't, I do encourage you to go and listen. Safe Ireland are amazing. Not only do they look after the victims of abuse, men, women and children, all kinds of abuse, but they also, more importantly, work with the government in changing legislation and informing them of different changes that need to be made. Then they also do a lot of education and finding the root cause of abuse and, you know, like trying to nip it in the bud and get it from the bottom and stop it from there. So those are the things that are really, really important. And anyways, I just wanted to do something because I was just feeling a little bit helpless. And I'm sure lots of you felt the same. So that fundraiser is still live and that is on my Instagram. You can just click the link in my bio and it's there. I'll be sharing it until I reach my goal of €2,000. Thank you so much to everyone that has donated so far. You're very, very kind and very generous, and it's going straight to Safe Ireland, obviously. Yeah, hopefully I'll reach more than €2,000. Like, the more the merrier, obviously. If you can share it as well to your stories, that would be amazing. You can go into like stickers in Insta stories and you can attach the link yourself. If you did that, that would be amazing, because obviously spreading the word is the best way to get it out there. And on this week's episode of the podcast, I am chatting to Lisa Curran. She is from Tralee, but she is one of the people behind, well, she's the main person behind it. It was her idea behind the Virtue Club, which is Ireland's first alcohol-free events company. And they also have a base in Tralee of an actual like bar club, but it's alcohol free. And I know that a lot of you are probably thinking, like, that sounds crazy. Why would you have alcohol free club, like alcohol free events? There's obviously no crack in that, but the whole point of this interview is that it actually is all about the crack, and there is a whole other market of people. Even if it's not you, like, there are people out there that don't drink for loads of different reasons, whether they can't drink, they're allergic to it, they don't want to drink, they are in recovery, it doesn't suit them, you know, their partner might be in recovery, or just somebody that is close to them might be in recovery, so, you know, it just wouldn't be healthy for them to do it. They might have just grown out of it, like, they mightn't just like it anymore. So, like, there's a whole market there, and maybe it's not for you right now, but I'm sure you definitely know somebody that this would benefit massively. And I think it's mad that there just hasn't been an option there for those people, like. And we talk about that within the podcast. I know that, you know, I have people in my family that don't drink for their own personal reasons. And even us growing up as, like, my generation and the generations older than me always say, like, there was nothing else to do in Ireland, only drink, you know, as beautiful as it is. And I'm not taking that away from it at all. You know, some people aren't into going, doing all these hikes and exploring and whatever, like, that mightn't be their thing. Then it's kind of like, what else is there to do? Do you know, because obviously it's a cold country, it gets dark early in the winters and whatever. And there's just not a whole lot of things to do. So therefore, Lisa saw a gap in the market because of her own struggles with alcohol. Nothing major, only the same thing that we all experience, like just the anxiety as you get older from it. The benefits just weren't really there anymore. And she wanted another way to go out and socialize with friends and have a good time, like enjoy music and have a few drinks without the alcohol, without the hangover, without the flipping anxiety the next day or the next 3 days even. So I just think it's a amazing idea. They are starting events all over the country now. It's really taken off. Like, she's been on the Ray Darcy show. She's been interviewed in so many national newspapers and radio stations and what have you. So, like, the demand is definitely there, although she was nervous at the beginning that it like might be a flop or people might say negative things towards it. But and it's definitely as well not like a drinkers versus non-drinkers type thing. It's just another option for people. Like, you know, you mightn't want to drink as much. Like, that's definitely where I am in my life now. I don't want to drink as much anymore. Like, don't get me wrong, still love going out and whatever. Like, I'm not finished yet. Like, I'm not hanging up the boots yet. But I definitely don't enjoy it as much, and I definitely drink way less than I used to. And I'm sure lots of people feel the same, but it's just nice to have another option there. And thankfully, the Nighttime Economy Task Force, which is set up to basically bring back nightlife in Ireland and encourage the art sector to be blooming and blossoming and booming. Booming was the word I was looking for there. Booming again. Blooming and blossoming. The Nighttime Economy Task Force are providing the Virtue Club with a little bit of funding to kind of get them off the ground across the country, which is great. Like, you know, anyone that's in the art sector in Ireland, or you don't even have to be part of the art sector in Ireland, you obviously would have known that they struggled deeply through COVID as well as everybody else, but the art sector was just massively affected and like went on way too long. So it's just, yeah, it's absolutely fantastic. So it is, if I haven't said that already. So I'm honestly going to stop talking shite now and you can go straight into the episode. As always, please rate and review the podcast. You can now review it, or no, sorry, you can also rate it now on Spotify and on Apple Podcasts as well. You can write a little review or rate it 5 stars. So I really hope you enjoy the episode and follow the Virtue Club on Instagram and Facebook. Welcome to the podcast, Lisa.
Hello.
Welcome to Not a Single Bother Girl.
Thank you very much. It took a bit of drama to get here.
But we made it. It's fine.
We made it.
First of all, you're behind the Virtue Club. And for anyone that doesn't know what it is, can you tell us a little bit about it? Where did the idea come from? And just a general gist of what it is.
Yeah, so the Virtue Club is Ireland's first alcohol-free events company and media company. So what we're doing is we're just organising events, mad nights out, mad pop-up events, and obviously COVID kind of ruined that for the moment. But yeah, we're everything's lifted now, so we're like full steam ahead. Mm-hmm. And we're going to go around, do pop-up events in different venues. We have a few health festivals, actually. They've been really interested in having us as pop-ups, and then like alternative venues like garden centers holding gigs and stuff in there, and like the museum and stuff like that, because they can't have drink licenses, so we can come. They can have like an event, people can come in and have their like no secco and bring whatever age kids or teenagers with them.
Yeah.
And they can all take their pictures with their fancy mocktails and everything. And you know, all these places get an alternative kind of night and extra hours for footfall. And so I personally love the kind of alternative venue kind of side of it.
Yeah.
But obviously we have like casino nights in our pockets, like racing nights and our virtual racing nights and all that kind of stuff, mm-hmm. that people don't usually go to, because usually for whatever reason it might get too rowdy for them, drink yeah. might be triggering them, they have mm-hmm. to get up with the kids in the morning, they don't want to get into a taxi to go home. So people that don't usually go to those events can go. Or, you know, some people are just like on a serious fitness journey and they can't have drink, it's not part of their plan. Mm-hmm. So kind of, it's just a bit for everybody. And we're not shoving it down people's throats. It's kind of like, look, if you want to go out tonight and not be dying tomorrow, you have something on, but you want the crack and get dressed up,
yeah.
come along, it's there. It's
yeah,
an option.
Yeah. Unreal. And where did the idea come from? Like, why did you decide to get this going?
Well, the big part of it for me was like dealing with my own anxiety, and just that horrible feeling of dread after drink. I think
yeah.
something happens to you, I don't care what anyone says, after like 28, after 30, like you could have 3 drinks and you might as well have drank the whole pub dry, because
you're going to
be Oh my God, when you hit that stage, isn't it just so
it's
horrible?
mad.
You're just like, oh.
Honestly, it's horrible. I'm hitting that now as well. Like, I completely agree with you. Like, you may as well, if you're going to have three drinks, I'll feel like I've went out the whole night long. Like, do you know what I mean? It's actually
Yeah.
awful. Like,
Yeah.
so
And I just couldn't deal with the 3 days of like not being able to like organize your thoughts, feeling like something bad is gonna happen and you've done nothing bad, but your head is like, no, you've totally made a fool of yourself and you might have had a great night, like, but no. So I think, and especially I think a lot of people in COVID like really, really addressed like mental health or physical health and everything. And for me, it was like my mental health. It was that time, the first time in my life that I could take a breather, really, and kind of go back to going, right, I need to sort this, and how can I sort this? And I've been going to see counselors and doctors and everything since I was 15. So like it's 18 years. And in COVID, I finally found a happy place with my mental health. And a part of that was definitely finding the right medication, finding the right counselor and everything. And I think actually doing my counseling sessions on Zoom from home was a huge thing. I think I felt so much more comfortable and open.
Relax, yeah.
And I was in the space that I'm in all the time, so I could describe it a lot better and how I was feeling rather than just working yourself up to go into an office. It was huge. So I think because I didn't drink during the lockdown, I kind of just went, do I want to? And then of course I went on two or three mad nights, and then I had that whole week of torturing myself, and I said, you know what, it's not worth it. But what can I do? Where can I meet my friends? What can we do? Where do I get to go get dressed up? Like, you know, or even just meet new people, because you know, in your 30s, it's very hard to like meet new people. Especially like I work on my own, so it's tricky. So I was like, there's nothing there. Even if a place did an alcohol-free night, all the drink options are there, and there was nothing going on. So I just put the feelers out on Facebook, and Ger O'Sullivan, you know, big Ger that does the karaoke.
I've seen him, yeah.
He was like, oh, I'd love this after years of being involved in like nightclubs and pubs and everything. He was like, I just love to get back in the business, but I'm not able for people that drink. So we were kind of on the same wavelength. It was just, he wasn't like, don't drink either. Do you know what I mean? He was just like, look, we'll have an option for people. So we tried it, and the next thing, it just exploded. Like, we thought, oh, we could hold one or two events, maybe one a month, one every 2, 3 months. And then people were just hounding us, like the media, everything. And
Yeah, all over the place.
and then we discovered that like people wanted to hear stories and like have tastings, and venues wanted us to come in and showcase their venues and stuff. So we'd all have a lot of media kind of tech training, so we just said we'd merge the two together. And the latest thing we're involved in is we're working with the Nighttime Task Force, with the Department of Arts and Culture, Sports and Media. So they're trying to do what we're doing, actually, like bring places, bring gigs, bring alternative kind of nights to alternative places. So we're very lucky there's a lot of funding there for kind of what we want to do as well. So that makes it a bit easier because, you know, none of us are rich.
Yeah, unfortunately, maybe someday, who knows?
Someday.
But yeah, no, I think that's it's such a good idea, and I feel like a lot of people can relate on the COVID area of it. Like even myself and a few of my friends, I know that, like, I can speak for myself, like, that over the weeks and months, whatever, that we were in lockdown, I was just like, I kind of prefer not drinking. Like, I felt like I was a happier person. And then when we were allowed to go back out, I was like, I'm not that arse in doing it. Even over the Christmas there, like, I didn't really drink. I haven't gone out many weekend. Like, you know, I used to go out literally every weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday kind of job. Yeah. And now I'm just like, it doesn't bring me the same enjoyment as it used to. It's kind of, there's more negatives to positives. Obviously, I'm not off drink or whatever. I still will drink here and there, but like, I just feel like everyone's kind of on that vibe, and a lot of people realize that it wasn't actually bringing them a whole lot of happiness. Do you know what I mean?
No, and I think people appreciate their spending habits.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's a huge thing. And
massive.
Then, of course, like the safety aspect of it, being mm-hmm. able to get in your own car and drive home.
Yeah.
I mean, especially for women, it's very daunting getting into a taxi.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, it's not all taxis, but, you know,
yeah.
you can just be unlucky and get one kind of, something mightn't even happen, but you might feel really uncomfortable, especially with drink in your system. You
yeah.
start thinking all these things are going to happen. And
literally,
then
yeah.
you get home, yeah, and you're anxious, and then you wake up the next day and you're more anxious. But, like, I'm the same as you. Like, I will drink at, like, a birthday party or a wedding
mm-hmm.
or whatever.
Yeah.
But I thought it was really interesting here. The restrictions got lifted here last Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
And I was shocked to see the amount of people that didn't go out.
Yeah. It's mad,
they
isn't
were
it?
Like, yeah, they were just like, you know what? I'm not ready to go out into that madness.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not ready to, you know, they were, before everyone would have been like, oh, they'll all think there's something wrong with me. Whereas people are just a lot more able to say, no, it's not for me tonight. And
yeah.
it's more acceptable now.
Definitely, yeah, definitely. In the last year, 2 years, it's more acceptable
mm-hmm.
to not drink, which should be the case. Like, do you know what I mean? I feel like Ireland, obviously everyone knows, we're known culturally to be drinkers, like, and you know, if you go out and night out and you're not drinking, especially a few years ago, people would be like, what, like, are you on antibiotics, are you pregnant, like
yeah.
why are you not drinking, like, come on, kind of trying to shove it down your throat. But I feel like, I don't know, is it because we're getting older, or, you know, is it just
no,
a general
do you know
thing?
What? Most of the teenagers now, because, you know, I teach a lot of kind of, God, like, I teach age 5 to adulthood, but
yeah.
my teenagers, they're not into it.
Really?
Like, they're really not into it. They, like, before it was like, okay, let's go out, let's get drunk at the weekend and see who has the best stories on Monday morning.
Yeah.
Like, that was it.
Yeah.
Like, that was it. And now, I'm lucky I was of the generation where it wasn't recorded. Sorry about that, Shane. But, you know,
oh my God.
But it's gotten even more, like, instant now.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, you can literally not even have fallen over yet, and the video is sent to
yeah,
however
yeah.
many people, like, you
know?
Yeah. And I think they're a lot more conscious of how they're being portrayed.
Definitely.
And then
yeah.
they're all into the gym, and they're all into fitness and
mm-hmm.
wellness. I mean, that's really
take
a
off.
Lot of them are into that. And
yeah, which is great.
Which I didn't know to understand the words wellness and mindfulness until I was about 26, 27. I was like,
literally.
That would have been helpful, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
But I think a lot of them are kind of like, no, I couldn't be bothered. They have no problem going out. And because there's more than just one of them, they kind of all stick to it. I was shocked to learn that, to
mm-hmm.
be honest, because we'd relate to teenagers as like going drinking in a field. And
literally, going drinking
oh.
down the park, drinking in a field,
yeah.
literally anywhere, yeah.
yeah. But I think for tourism, it's like, it needs to change a little bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
I presume, like, you talk, when you talk about Ireland, where you are, like,
mm-hmm.
it's like, oh, it's so green, it's so beautiful, there's so many of these things, and oh my God, and it's about the beauty and what we have, but tourists associate it with the pub.
Mm-hmm. But even, not even tourists, like, I feel like Irish people in general, like, even us here, I would say, and even growing up, like, the reason we all drank so much growing up is because there wasn't much else to do. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else to do. So that's why I think this is such a good idea to normalize non-drinking events. Like, even if you choose to not drink as an adult, like, not just a teenager, like, what do you do in the evenings? Like, where do you go to meet people? Like, as you were saying,
yeah.
like, do you know? It's madness that there isn't things to do, or there isn't places to go where you can socialise, like, not just go to fucking yoga or something, because not everyone's interested in that.
That's it, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And mountain climbing and everything. Could you imagine me climbing a mountain now? Like, I'd get 3 steps up and I'd be like, that's it, that's my mountain climbing thing. The rest of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just, you know, it's not for our people, and
no.
it is for other people, and that's the same with how we're kind of approaching the virtue clubs. Like, look, if you want to go climbing mountains, good on you.
Do it.
Absolutely. cheer you on.
Yeah.
If you want to go to the pub, I mean, if people wanted to come to like a Virtue Club event until 11 o'clock and then hit the pub.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, that's fine. No, I mean, like, no problem. Like, it's none of my business. But at the same time, at least you've cut out maybe 4 hours of, you know, drinking. You'll get home a little bit better.
Yeah.
I remember going home.
Exactly, yeah. But as well, like, your events are, because obviously you're a music person, like music through and through. So a lot, most of your events are focused around music as well, which is, I'd say, what a lot of people who don't drink miss out on, because,
yeah,
do you know, like, you don't get the live events, you don't get the just live singers or whatever if you're not drinking, because.
Yeah.
It's just, why would you want to go into an environment where everyone is getting like folly downy drunk and you're sober Sally in the corner with your glass of Coke? Do you know what I mean? So
yeah.
It's nice for people to be able to enjoy music, because music is a massive part of Irish culture as well.
But the thing is that the musicians really enjoy it. And we've had like magicians and like we have illusionists lined up and everything, comedians.
Oh,
now it is harder for them to perform because obviously a sober crowd expects a standard. But the audience, we'll call them, they remember who's performed and they network with them. So those people end up getting gigs out of that. Whereas in a regular pub, it's the drink is first and then the music's in the background.
Right.
So they'll go and say, oh, your man was very good last night. I don't have a clue who he was.
Yeah.
And they don't get that like added kind of networking experience to make more money and more events and get their name out there, no matter what their like craft is. And the only other option is going to a theatre where you can't talk, you can't socialise, you have to sit there and be quiet.
Yeah.
Which is fantastic if that's what you want to do. Whereas in a Virtue Club event, you're still chatting away, it's still a pub atmosphere, but the music is there and, you know, you're just going to join in more. I mean, and the thing is, we had like what, they'd be considered a drunk sing-song, right? Genuinely. As people are holding their alcohol-free bottles or pints or mocktails, people start associating that, it's like that placebo effect in their head. And they start associating that with being drunk. So they actually start acting like they're drunk and they get that confidence and they get that rowdiness and the volume goes up. Like a few events, like people were like coming up to me being like, I can't believe I can drive home. Like I feel drunk.
That's good though. They're obviously drunk on the vibes as well. So that's a good sign on the fucking vibes.
Yeah, it's the vibes, and they, you know, they enjoy their company. And like that, we can let 14-year-olds in. So like that 14 to 16-year-old age group have a place to go, to get dressed up, you know, flirt with the boys, go out with girls, you know, which is huge, like for people that are involved in sports clubs or anything like that. So hopefully it just catches on a lot more because
It's big time.
You know,
needed.
Even if you just go to the regular pub and ask them for their alcohol-free options, and if they only supply one, which unfortunately a lot of places do, they might only have one option and maybe one mocktail, which just isn't good enough.
No.
You know, there's a whole demographic of people that either can't, allergies, medication, pregnancy, you know, in recovery, friends are in recovery, partners are in recovery. There's an awful lot. Rather than just, are you sick or are you an alcoholic?
Exactly, you know? Yeah. I actually saw a video online, it was ages ago, and it really stuck with me. It was just this woman, I think, was just talking about the lack of options when you go to bars, and that, like, the bar people would nearly be looking at her sideways when she's asking for like the list of non-alcoholic drinks, as if to say, like, why are you here if you're not drinking? And then they're getting just like an orange juice or something, which draws, you know, more attention, because sometimes, like, you don't want to talk about why you're not drinking, because there's numerous reasons why you might not be. And then you're drawing attention to the fact that you just have an orange juice. And also, like, you want to enjoy the same vibe that everyone else is enjoying, like having a nice tasty cocktail minus the alcohol. Like, and I really got what she was saying, like, because you feel like an outsider then if you're just there with your kids drink, basically, like.
Yeah. And you get just as bad of a hangover off like minerals.
Yeah, the sugar.
If you have too many Cokes or Lucozades, you are just as equally sick the next morning, you know?
Yeah, from all the sugar,
and it's no crack. What's the point? And that's why I think people just go, oh, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly.
And I think a lot of people as well, like, because the alcohol-free options taste the same, they really, really do. Like, they've really perfected it over the last year or two. Now, there's one or two that they need to work on. Oh, my God. But they'll get there. I'm hopeful for them because, wow. But, you know, I think people can turn around and go, do you know what? I just prefer the taste of this one. Or, you know, it's not as taboo anymore. I mean, over here now, because they can't advertise alcohol on adverts on telly and stuff, they can advertise alcohol free.
Yeah.
So they're using it. I mean, Formula One is a massive one. Formula One have been completely sponsored by Heineken Zero. So they're getting there and they have the money.
What are the options that you have? So, like, tell us about the non-alcoholic drinks that you have.
Oh my God, you know what now? I'm actually going to pull up the list.
Okay.
Because there's actually so many that I always forget some. Genuinely.
Right.
So we have, at the moment, right, we have Erdinger, which is like a kind of random, but it's nice. Heineken Zero, Copperberg Zero, Cronin's Zero, which is like made in Kerry.
Unreal. I love Cronin's. I miss that.
It's so nice. Guinness Zero, Carlsberg Zero, Bulmer Zero, No Secco, Red, White, Rosé, Wine, Gin and Tonic, Vodka, a Rum. Then our mocktails are Shirley Temple, Nojitos, Coco Lemons, Orange Sunrise. And we're talking to a few more companies. There's Athletic Brewing Company. They do like cans, like lager and stuff, and then obviously Clean Co gin and everything, and there's a few whiskies and stuff out there as well, which I don't know how that works, but we're going to be testing them as well. So yeah,
it's
a bit of everything for everyone,
literally everything you would want, really. You have,
yeah,
so that's class.
And the thing that we have is, like, we have a whole bar, and it's, when you walk in, it looks like a fully stocked alcohol bar.
Yeah
So you don't have to say, could I have Heineken Zero? You just go, can I have Heineken?
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to be zero anyway. It kind of helps people kind of get into that as well. Just, you know, they're still asking for a Guinness or a Heineken, and it's not different. It doesn't make you different.
Yeah. Maybe down the line when you're going to a bar now, like, this will be a little bit in the future. If you say, can I have a Heineken? They say, 0% or normal.
Yeah. And you know what, like, we got the only kind of negativity, I suppose, we got from people were people saying 0% alcohol drinks aren't actually 0%.
All right.
And that's true. There, a lot of drinks have like 0.5 or maybe 0.3.
Okay.
Or a lot of them have 0.01 or 0.05%. But the thing is, right, even the highest one that has like a trace of alcohol in it, I think it's 0.5. And I think it's Copperberg, I think. But for you to have the equivalent of one pint, you'd need to drink 8 of them within the space of 5 minutes.
Right, okay. But are there ones that are 0.0 as well? Like, let's say for people that are in recovery.
Loads.
Yeah, great.
Yeah, there's loads. And, but like I always point out to people, there's actually, if you leave bananas in your fruit bowl, right?
Yeah.
They naturally ferment.
Oh yeah.
And you can actually get up to 0.3% of alcohol in a banana.
Jesus Christ, that's mad.
Yeah. So you actually, your banana that's been sitting there for a few days probably has more alcohol in it than a 0.0 drink.
That's mad. That's a business opportunity for me there now. My bananas.
Yeah. Start for me. Bananas. Yeah. Take the banana bread. What are they doing?
Yeah.
That's why banana bread is so nice. It's actually full of like
banana. That's why everyone was going mad for there during lockdown.
Yeah, so it's really interesting, like, the way, you know, all these facts and figures, I'm just like, that is so interesting. Like, you kind of end up nerding out on it, you know? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's fun, and people love those kind of facts, and they're like, oh,
yeah, how interesting. Bad? Yeah. And has your, like, what has the reaction been like so in general? Like, have you've obviously just on that comment there had a little bit of negativity, but has there been any other kind of negativity, or is it all like amazing positive vibes?
Do you know what, I think it's just an Irish thing to try and find holes in something. Oh, and that was one that they tried to find, that they tried to go with that loophole, and it didn't work. It was like, no, actually, sorry. And then people were like, oh, there'd be no crack. But once you talk to somebody, I think they always go, oh, do you know, it wouldn't be for me, but I understand, you know, I have a friend that would totally love that, or mm-hmm. my sister doesn't drink, my cousin doesn't drink, my parents don't drink.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to go on a night out with my little brother or sister, and they mm-hmm. can't get into a regular pub, so I'd love to go there. I think everyone follows up, even if it's not for them, they all follow up with, but I would bring such and such, I would go with such and such person, or yeah. I'd love to have a proper night out with this person that usually doesn't go out. And so I think people, like we were saying before, people see that it is a need.
Mm-hmm. Massively.
Yeah, it's just an alternative option, really. Like, it's just like, look, if you don't want to go and go get rotten.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you do need to do that. Like, if that's in your makeup, I mean,
yeah,
even if it's twice a year, like, you know, people need a blowout, and some people do that by going on a mad one, or going on holidays, or going to a gig. Everyone has that moment where life is insane,
mm-hmm.
and you need to let loose. Some people it's the gym, but some people it's a mad night out, and so you need that too if that's what's your thing, like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that concept that there'll be no crack is not true. There's definitely going to be crack.
No, I can tell you now, like, there's definitely couples coming out of these things, like,
See, that's what I think as well. Like, you know, there's a few alcoholics in my family, like recovering alcoholics, and I just have mm-hmm. often thought, like, it's just very sad, because I know that a relation of mine said to me before, when we were talking about, like, their addiction or whatever, they just said, like, they made a comment about, like, oh, why can't, you know, that they look at the rest of us, like, the rest of the family or whatever, other people, and they get to go to, you know, let's say weddings or just general events, and they get to have a good time, and they were like, how come I can't do that? And that made me feel so sad that they felt like, do you know, that they were missing out on kind of a part of life, especially in Ireland, like, that there is so much crack, and they obviously can't go because, obviously, like, it's temptation, it's not the same, because everyone's on a different vibe. And then as well, it's the thing of, you're ruling out how they're going to meet somebody and get into a relationship. Do you know what I mean? Like, do you know, when you're a little bit older, and then you don't drink, like, even if you're just a little bit older in general, it's obviously hard to meet people. And then when you take out the aspect of going out, then what, like, do you know, what do you do? So I think it's
me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's great. And I like,
think even people that are in recovery themselves, like you said, that's a big thing, that they'd prefer to meet somebody else that doesn't drink, or mightn't drink a lot, mm-hmm. or might take up this option, you know, more often for them. But like, there's also people that had partners that sadly were addicted in some way, shape or form.
Yeah.
And they don't want to deal with that again. It might be triggering for their mental health or their kids, or you don't know.
Yeah.
So it's an option for those people as well to be like, look, this person is great crack. They're not out every weekend, you know. And if they are, they're not drinking. They're going to not come home and cause... Only knows.
Yeah, I know, yeah. And do you know what, like, there are a lot of people that are alcoholics. They may not be diagnosed alcoholics, but, you know, in Ireland there are a lot of people that struggle with addiction. They drink too much. Maybe drink doesn't suit them, which is a lot of people's problem. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, it just, they might
or
not be...
You can turn, like, as time in your life... drinking, you can be the life of the party, and then the next night out, from then on, like, it could just not suit you. So it's not, it's not a general thing. It can change at any time, and you just have to, you don't know if it's going to happen to you or when it's going to happen to you. The drink just doesn't suit you anymore.
Yeah.
But to have that alternative option is huge. Like, just for people to be like, well, massive. I can go out, I can still put on the lashes and the tan and go out. Like,
exactly. Know? Yeah. Like, I love getting dressed up. Like, look, most women do. So, and to take that away from people then as well is awful. So, to have that option is amazing. Like,
oh, stop. I'm so crack. Like, you really do. Like, the people coming in, like, especially the mix of ages, I think is just unreal. Like, you could have 15, 16 year olds sitting at one table, and then you could have, because the older generation as well, they don't get to go out because the places get so rowdy.
Yeah.
And again, like, especially after COVID, they really missed having the company as well. So, but they're, you know yourself, Irish people over the age of like 60, 70, they're full of divilment, man.
Yeah.
They are so full of divilment, and they are just fantastic. And to see, like, the younger generation mixing with them, and you know, it's so nice.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
There's not a lot of environments where that happens.
Yeah, of course. It's so true.
So it's a bit, it's mad. It's mad, because we were asked like a few times, like, oh, what age? And I'm like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Because everyone is in the same headspace. So, you know, it's about the music and trying the drink. And the good thing about alcohol free is you can mix them as well. So you can try everything out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you're not going to wake up with a pounding headache there after mixing the drinks. That's gas.
Oh, and it's so funny to find people, like, they'll come up to the bar and they'll be like, do you know what, that one wasn't for me now. But it wasn't that. So I'll try the next, what do you suggest now? And I'm just like, go for it. Go for it.
That's gas. And over January, did you notice a lot more new faces coming in? Or what way was it? You know, with obviously dry January.
Well, do you know what now? We were closed because of the restrictions.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sorry.
We had an awful lot of new followers, new people messaging in. Obviously, the media were really helpful getting the message out of, you know, what we're doing, because they wanted to push it. We did some live testings with, like, Ray Darcy and stuff on the radio.
Unreal.
Which was great crack, like, because, do you know, every person is different, and so your taste buds will be different for whatever you try.
Yeah.
So really interesting. Myself and Keith Walsh were in Dublin, and I was down the sticks in Dingle. And, you know, it was really interesting. Like, Keith might have liked one, Ray didn't like the other. So it was really honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't just going, oh, that was lovely, you should try this. It was like, no.
Yeah,
nothing is sponsored either. So, like, if we say a drink is nice, we're not saying it because that company paid us to.
Exactly.
We're not going down that road at the moment. Obviously, funding would be lovely, but
so if anyone's listening,
it's not worth it yet.
Yeah.
To have, you know, we want people to trust us and trust our opinions, and, you know, a lot of things now out there today, you just can't trust it most of the time. So we're trying to be as transparent as possible. And we have, like, a few YouTube videos coming up where we're tasting things live and stuff like that. So
yeah, yeah. Unreal.
It will be honest.
And so what is the goal for the Virtue Club this year, 2022? What are the main goals?
The main goal is just get out there.
Yeah.
Literally just go wherever we can go. We'd love to partnership up with, obviously, a few places that might run an event once a month, so that people have a place to go and just kind of bring in a Virtue Club night. And that's kind of what we're working on at the moment. And of course, with the Nighttime Task Force, they have a lot of funding now to really bring back nightlife.
Yeah.
And they've really copped on to it being about the arts being more centered, just because the arts were hit so bad.
Yeah.
And, like, the alternative venues, like, they want us to go and approach, like, butcher shops and hair salons and gyms and everything. And I'm like, that is fantastic. Imagine, like, a night in your gym where a pop-up alcohol-free bar just shows up. You know what I mean? You'd have some crack, like, inside in the butcher shop, you're walking downtown, maybe going for a meal or going to the pub, and you see this inside there, and you're like, actually, I'll pop in there, like, what the hell is going on? And it's kind of that shock factor, so that you know, the fact that it's in an alternative venue, you'll be like, what's going on there? You won't even notice, you know, that you're not drinking, but you're holding the bottle. So it's really cool the way they're kind of coming around it.
Yeah, it's unreal. It needs to be nationwide as well. Like, it's something, like, it should have been set up a long time ago. There's been a market there for it for so long. So I really hope that it is extremely successful and grows.
And I think what people always ask is, like, people see the name Virtue as kind of, like, condescending. Right. You know, if you're brought up in a religious house, that can be, like, you know, a little bit, like,
I didn't even think of that.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
But what virtue actually means, like, we went back into, like, looking up all these quotes about virtue and where did it come from and where did patience as a virtue and all that come from.
Oh, yeah.
And it actually comes from, it's kind of the old-fashioned way of, like, live and let live.
Right, okay.
So, like, your virtue is, like, you stick to your own path and affect the rest, basically. And, okay, you know, you don't expect more from others. You just kind of expect more from what you want, and you stay in your own lane. Like,
right.
So it kind of fits what we were kind of looking for and what we were about. It's like, look, you don't have to go to the pub, and you don't have to feel that pressure of having to drink if you don't want to.
Yeah.
And this is just the alternative lane where you can be down, and, you know, there's other people there and you don't feel so alone. And
exactly,
you know, even if a group of people met each other, they might go out another night, but it's power in numbers then that they won't feel pressure from each other and make new friends and
have
new people to go mad with, and that's all you want.
Yeah, finding people who are on your same vibe.
Yeah, completely.
Where is the club based in Tralee? Like, where is the bar based?
So we, before Christmas, we decided to have a base just because so many people were asking to come in and asking to, you know, get involved and feel the vibe and everything. So the old Mitchell's Club in Tralee, right next to the bus station, they had a bar set up, but they weren't using the bar.
Yeah.
And because we didn't need the license, we can just go in and take over and set it up.
Yeah.
And they have a little stage in there as well. So it was a small enough venue, but at the same time, we could fit 250 if we wanted to. Do you know what I mean?
Jesus, yeah, not that
small. And there's loads of parking. There's loads of parking and everything. So it was really easy to make a really cool kind of vibe out of it, because when it's... when you're in the main room, you can shut out light and everything. So we had, like, flower walls and fairy lights and all these quirky bits everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And, but now that we can go on the move, we're going to be going on the move.
Perfect. Unreal. So good. So if anyone is coming to Tralee or Kerry, go to the Virtue Club for something different near the old Mitchell's Clubhouse.
Yeah, and we will be traveling around the place, so follow social media to find out where we are.
Yeah, follow the Virtue Club on Instagram and on Facebook as well for all the updates and where they're going.
You can franchise out and open one in Sydney there, girl.
Yeah, but fair play to you for going out and doing it, though. Like, it takes some balls to actually think of an idea and actually fucking fly with it, so fair play.
I really thought I'd get a lot of stick.
Really? Did you?
I really thought I'm going to put this out now and people are going to absolutely just go, what is wrong with you now, Lisa? Like, there are some
notions here, like.
I was like, but I didn't. Honestly, I put up that post and I was just like, oh no, I'm ready for it. And instantly people were like, this is great, I'll definitely go, let me know if you're organising it, let me know if you want help.
Mm-hmm.
Artists were commenting underneath it that I know, they were like, I'd love to play in an atmosphere like that. And it was just like, okay,
oh, fab.
Okay, we can do it.
Yes.
We're fine, not going to be killed, this is great. So that was a huge part in, like, moving forward. It was support from other people.
And that is everything for this week's episode. I really hope you enjoyed it, and thanks again so much to Lisa Curran for coming on and chatting with me. As always, and as I said earlier, please do rate and review the podcast on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really means a lot to me, and thank you so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode. Bye.